Friends, we're excited to dive back into 1 John today. So grab a copy of God's Word and join me. We're going to be going into 1 John chapter 4, verses 7 to 11. If you do not have your own Bible, we would love to gift you a copy so you can swing by the church, and we would love to give you a copy of God's Word. You can also download the YouVersion app and have a copy of the Bible in many different versions available for free on your phone, so we encourage you to do that. So 1 John, right near the end of the Bible here, chapter 4, starting in verse 7, and we're going to be reading to verse 11. Dear friends, let us love one another, for love comes from God. Everyone who loves has been born of God and knows God. Whoever does not love does not know God, because God is love. This is how God showed his love among us. He sent his one and only Son into this world that we might live through him. This is love, not that we loved God, but that he loved us and sent his Son as an atoning sacrifice for our sins. Dear friends, since God so loved us, we also ought to love one another. Let's pray. Father God, we thank you for the opportunity to look into your word today. As we talk about what it means to love each other, what your love for us means, God, I pray that you would be pouring that love into our hearts today. In Jesus' name, amen. All right, so here we are once again. John is talking about how we need to love each other. So we've been going through 1 John for the past, I would say, few months at this point. We've had a couple breaks for Easter and whatnot. But in these four short chapters that we've covered already, John has already talked about loving each other at least six times. Can you imagine receiving this letter? You might be like, okay, John, we get it. You want us to love each other. Do you have anything else to say? Or are you just trying to hit your word count here? Word counts are really on my mind. I've been writing a lot of papers lately. It's important to hit your word count. And you can just imagine John's response saying, no, you clearly don't get what I mean. Your behavior makes that obvious. You really have to love each other. To be honest, I felt this way sitting down to write this message. Pastor Ken makes up the preaching schedule, and so I go and I check and look to see what I'm preaching on, and I'm like, another sermon on loving each other? Like, what else is there for me to say? I feel like I've tapped this. But if the past 2.5 years have shown us anything, it's that we obviously don't have this practice of loving each other down pat. Now, if you've spent some time reading the Bible, you'll know that even though it's a long book, it's a thick book, it isn't necessarily a wordy book, except for maybe the genealogies. Those can get quite wordy. But there's lots of subjects in the Bible where I'm reading them and I think, man, I would love if you would have just written a little bit more about that, if you would just expand on that a bit. So the Bible isn't unnecessarily wordy. So the fact that John is hammering home, love each other, God is love each other, it's important, and it should make us sit up and pay attention. So our passage starts out with John saying, dear friends, let us love one another. And he goes on to give us another reason why we should love each other. And he says, it's because love comes from God. He then goes on to say, everyone who loves has been born of God and knows God. Whoever does not love does not know God, because God is love. God is love. It's a phrase we hear a lot, right? But I wonder if we can actually really articulate what that means. What does it mean that God is love? Does that mean God's fuzzy feelings? God is feeling good or nice? God's butterflies in your stomach? I think we need to figure out what we mean when we say, God is love, we need to first ask the question, well, what is love? So much of what we see in Scripture and talk about in the church on Sundays and in our Bible studies and in our personal devotions is about love, right? Our love for God, God's love for us, our love for others. Love is such a vital concept for us that we really need to get it figured out. And I think we hear it so often and we say it so much that sometimes it can be like, yeah, love, but we really need to get a hold of what that means. So we're going to dive into that just a little bit right now. C.S. Lewis, I'm not going to read Chronicles of Narnia today, don't worry. C.S. Lewis writes a book called The Four Loves, in which he distinguishes between the four ancient Greek words that are used for love in the Bible. There's eros, philos, storge, and agape. And these are all words that we translate as love. Now, it's important for us to explore the different Greek words for love that we see in the New Testament because we all experience all of the kinds of love that I just listed. But we know, we sense that our love for God is supposed to be unique and different. And we know that his love for us must mean more than what we say when we say, ah, we love that thing. And so that's why it can be helpful to categorize and clarify these different loves that we experience. So let's briefly discuss each one of the loves that I just mentioned. So first we have eros. It's a kind of romantic love where the lovers desire each other. And then we have philos, which is friendship love, where, as I read earlier this week, two people are linked arm in arm, shoulder to shoulder, with a common vision and a common goal, and a delight and a partnership pulling together toward the goal. It's friendship love. And then there's storge, which is familial love, so love that you feel for your kids or you feel for your parents or your aunts and your uncles. And then we have agape, which is divine love, which is characterized by sacrifice in the pursuit of the good of another person. So it's important to note for our purposes today that in the passage that we just read, every time we read the word love, in our passage, the Greek word there is actually agape. Love characterized by sacrifice in the pursuit of another person's good. So obviously, the love of God is the agape brand, and we're going to come back to that in a little bit. But first, I want to move on, and I want to talk about Jonathan Edwards. He's an old-timey guy, had lots of good things to say, lots of hard things to say. And how he divided the idea of love was into two categories, the love of complacency and the love of benevolence. First, I have to define here what I mean, what he meant by complacency, because as we know, words change, and so complacency, what he meant by it, is not what we think of it today. So what we think of complacency is to be smug or uncritical satisfaction with oneself or one's achievements. But that's not what he meant by it. What it meant back then, it had to do with a sense of pleasure. And now, not pleasure as in sensual or erotic or romantic pleasure, but rather a delight in that which is supremely pleasing to the soul. The roots of the meaning of complacency in the Oxford English Dictionary are traced back with the primary meaning given as the fact or state of being pleased with a thing or person, tranquil pleasure or satisfaction in something or someone. So, love of complacency, for example, would be me saying, I love Miller's ice cream. I am pleased by the qualities present in Miller's ice cream. Its delicious taste, its charming locale, its community-minded business practices, and its adorable merchandise. I've been hinting for a Miller's ice cream sweater for quite some time from my husband, and I might just have to go buy my own. But that would be love of complacency. You might love a place, a country, a sport, a sports team. It's something that you love because it or they are lovely. They are pleasing to you. And a love of complacency isn't negative. It's not bad. We should be loving God with a love of complacency because he is good and he is lovely and he is wonderful. But then we move on to the love of benevolence. I've seen it put this way. The love of benevolence, it's not based on the attractiveness of the object of your love, but rather your benevolence, your goodwill toward the person or thing that you are loving. Your aim in that kind of love is to do good, to bring about something beautiful, not to just respond to beauty. The love of benevolence is the quality of goodwill towards others. The Bible talks often of God's benevolence and goodwill towards us. As we see in verse 9 of our passage today, John says, "In this the love of God was made manifest among us, that God sent his only Son into the world that we might live through him." God is benevolent. So to recap, God's love for us is agape, in that it is divine love characterized by sacrifice in the pursuit of another person's good. And it is a benevolent love, as in he loves us not because we are lovely, but because he is kind, because he is benevolent. So remember, the week before last, I talked about John's appeal for us to love not just in word, but also in deed and action. And we see this again here in verse 9, a perfect example of God's love being made manifest among us by God sending his only son to the world so that we might live through him. God didn't just talk about loving, he loved in the ultimate action of dying for us. This, friends, is the defining sign of agape, self-sacrifice. Now, when we think of self-sacrifice, I tend to think of some pretty dramatic stuff, right? Taking a bullet for someone, running into a burning building to save them, dying on a cross for them. And these are 100% fantastic examples of sacrificial love. Jesus' death on the cross is the ultimate example of sacrificial love. Greater man, love has no man than he who lays down his life for his friends. But sacrificial love isn't always so grandiose, so life-shifting. Sometimes it's small. And because it can be small, we can convince ourselves that it doesn't matter. But we are called to agape in the small day-to-day areas of our lives. And we'll talk about that again in a little bit. So back to our text, verse 10. This is love, not that we loved God, but that he loved us and sent his son an atoning sacrifice for our sins. Jesus paid it all. Now, the version that I just read is the NIV, and it says atoning sacrifice. Some versions say propitiation. That's a big theological word. But it's a pretty important word, so we're going to talk about it a little bit right now. Atoning sacrifice, propitiation. It includes six concepts, all rolled into one. God's holiness, God's wrath, God's justice, God's mercy, God's love, and God's grace. Dr. David Allen says, when Christ died on the cross, all six of these converged. God's holiness demonstrates the sinfulness of sin. God's wrath against sin was poured out on Christ on the cross. God's justice was satisfied on the cross. God's mercy towards sinners was demonstrated at the cross. God's love for the world was demonstrated at the cross, John 3:16. And God's grace was demonstrated at the cross because he gives us what we don't deserve. He's benevolent. So in Jesus, we have freedom from our sins and access to new life. And friend, that is good news. If you would like to know more about that good news, more about what it means to know Jesus, to have him be the payment for your sins, to come into your life, to bring you freedom and peace and joy, we would love to talk with you more about that. You can contact us through our website, and we would just be so happy to set up a time to meet to talk to you more about Jesus. So our passage today wraps up with yet another admonition from John to love each other. Again, dear friends, verse 11, since God so loved us, we also ought to love one another. So we've talked about the love that is being discussed here, right? Agape love, self-sacrificing love. So what does agape look like on Mother's Day? We're going to celebrate that this Sunday. Well, I'm glad you asked. Maybe you're thinking, send your mom a card, buy her some flowers, thank her and compliment her, and do manual labor because agape is self-sacrificing, right? All these things can be very lovely on Mother's Day, and I do actually have a lot of manual labor that I would like done outside of my home.